So, what kind of lists do you make?
Grocery list.
Yep. What other kind of list do you make? Appointments. Yep. Got to do that. I know. My life is in my cell phone calendar now. Chores. Yep. Absolutely. Chores. Anything else? Things you have to do for work, right? I about 80% of the time, I start my day with a to-do list. I have to, otherwise things don't get done. What else? Anything else? Who to buy gifts for? We got one of those on our fridge. Right, yeah, all of those things. Now, what kind of things do you put on those lists? Groceries. Chores. Nobody said honey-do list, by the way. That's a given. What? Every year you have to watch a bloodborne pathogen video. Is that for school? Wow. Okay. And you have to remind yourself because otherwise you're never going to do it. Yeah. It is not for home life as far as I'm aware. What else? Calls to make. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what online has. Hey, Julian Blaine. Good to have you guys here with us as well. Jane says, shopping list. Ander says, things for my husband to do. That's just, where is Mike? I saw him. Where? There you are. That's not fair. She's not even home and she can make a list for you. Oh, that's rough. The honey-do list. Sherry says, I make more to-do lists at work than at home. Yes, I do too. Jane says, work list for things done only once a year. Yeah. Sherry says, deadlines. Things I have to get done before the end of the day. My parents say things that need to be done are taken with me. Who to pray for? Ooh, that's a good one, Mike and Barbie. Who to pray for? And Julie says, bills to pay. Yeah, there's often ones that we forget. And anyone on YouTube? No one has ideas on YouTube. Although I see you guys watching there. So yeah, those are all important things to do. We have to have those to-do lists, but there's nothing exciting about to-do lists, right? I mean, in one of my podcasts that I produce, I try to get big name authors to do their stuff to get traffic to my podcast. And so I will tell them, they're like, I don't have anything for your show. I'm like, I will produce your shopping list. Just so I can say, hey, Frank Peretti shopping, ooh, what's this story? Shopping list. Let's see what Frank Peretti says, right? And then it's just a shopping list. Hooray. Right. All they're important, but they're not. They're just, they're things that we do. And then once you're done with them, you throw them out, right? Oh, do we need to save this? We don't need to save this. Everything's crossed off, right? So they're just kind of everyday whatever. They're not that big of a deal, although they're important for everyday life, which makes it really weird that the last words the Apostle Paul writes are essentially a to-do list to Timothy. He already gave his last command to Timothy, preach the word no matter what, right? That's what we saw last week. And now he moves over and he's like, and here's my to-do list. Here's my last words to you is a to-do list? That's strange. That's odd. What did Paul put on his to-do list? What should we put on all of our to-do lists? Second Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 9, Paul says to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon, because Demas has deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Please bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. I have sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come back, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I may fully preach the word and the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus has remained in Corinth. I left Trophimus, sick in Miletus, make every effort to come before winter. Ebulus greets you, as does Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. So when I was first working on this text, I'm looking at this going, I'm having a hard time figuring out like how to preach this. What is in here and what's going on? And as I'm struggling with it, I've realized this is a to-do list, right? It really is. There's some other things in there, right? Little nuggets we could pull out, but it's essentially a to-do list. It's the last thing he does. Look, Drayton, go ahead and put this up here on the screen. Look at the to-do list that he says. Come soon, bring Mark, bring a cloak, bring scrolls and books, watch out for Alex, glorify the Lord, greet Prisca and Aquila, that's Priscilla and Aquila, just short, greet Onesiphorus family, come before winter, and then you could, you know, say, maybe, the Lord be with your spirit, grace to you all. Okay, maybe that's more of a blessing than anything else. But look at all that, like, that's all the stuff he told them to do, and if I expanded it, I mean, I could have said, bring the scrolls, bring the parchments, we could have, like, expanded this whole thing. Now, it's interesting with this, I'm not 100% sold on this, but as I was just listing these out, there's something in the middle. In Hebrew scripture and literature, often they have something called a chiasm, and you see it often in the Psalms where the top and the bottom kind of match, and the most important thing is in the middle. And I think it's really interesting. The most important thing is when Paul talks about one of the defenses that he had to make, and he glorified the Lord in the middle of it. He glorifies the Lord now, even in the middle, as he's giving Timothy kind of a checklist that we'd be like, I guess it's kind of interesting, right? Like, bring the cloak. Oh, that's interesting, right? Who's going to publish a story when the wife calls the husband? You need to drop the kids' jackets off at school because we forgot them today, right? Like, that's not interesting. Nobody cares, right? Nobody even writes that on Facebook. Oh, man, look at me. Today I had to drop the coat off at the kids' school. Hooray. I mean, I guess people do that now that I'm talking out loud. but it doesn't get any likes because no one cares, right? It's just, but in the middle of that, he tells about his harrowing time where he was abandoned. At my first offense, no one stood by me. Everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. The Lord stood with me. And in verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the middle of his to-do list, the sum total of that to-do list, he's saying we have to glorify God. He fully relied on Christ in the middle of this. So what did Paul put on his to-do list? The last words he wrote? It's interesting, right? When you and I write to-do lists, we don't put this on here. Paul said total reliance on Jesus. He says, everyone else abandoned me. It was just me versus these people. I have total reliance on Jesus. What should we put on all of our to-do lists? I think total reliance on Jesus, which sounds crazy, right? You're saying I should make a grocery list and put total reliance on Jesus on it? Yep. You're saying like I got a honey-do list and we should put total reliance on Jesus? Oh, absolutely. Right? I've got to make a list of people I need to call, right? I should put total reliance of Jesus on that. I've got a project that I'm doing, my home improvement project, and as I'm doing the steps or I'm looking at the directions for whatever this thing I bought from Home Depot or Menards or whatever, I should put total reliance on Jesus? Yes. It's incredible that Paul is writing this in the middle of a to-do list, and I think it's incredible that we need to do it. I mean, let's look at the text a little bit more closely. It's a little tragic. He after he tells Timothy to come to him, he says, Demas has deserted me, which is hard because we see Demas in a few other of his epistles, and that was he said he was a faithful follower of Christ, and now he's just kind of run off. We don't know the details. I wish he told us more, but that's hard when Christians leave the ministry, leave the church. He says, only Luke is with me. And I love in verse 11, he says, bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. If you remember John Mark, when we went through Acts, right? John Mark was the reason that Paul and Barnabas split up as a ministry team because they had such a fight, right? So they left and they fought over him. And we don't know exactly what the fight was, but presumably Paul thought that Mark wasn't cut out for this kind of ministry. And now, however many years later, there's reconciliation. That's beautiful. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit directed him to write that. You know, get the cloak. He also says, get the scrolls especially some translations will say, and the parchments. That's important because you had scrolls, which Old Testament and pretty much all the cultures then, you had these long scrolls, which was a lot of work. You had to kind of, you know, turn both wheels as you go along. It's hard to read a scroll if you've ever tried to read from a scroll before. And Christianity didn't invent the book as we now have it, but we made the book popular. We really did codexes. And that's what he means here. He says, bring the scrolls. So he's probably talking about Old Testament texts that he has, very expensive, and bring the parchments, or bring the books, some translations will correctly say. Bring the codex, right? So there's already, at the end of his life, some books made with scripture in it. It's probably got the Gospel of Mark in it. It's probably got a few of the early epistles, like maybe James. But he says, bring those. And it's crazy because, like, we knew from the beginning of this epistle that Paul is on his deathbed. He knows that he's about to get executed. He knows his time is short, and he's still saying, hey, bring them to me. And maybe he wants to study from him because he needs the word of God. Maybe also he wants them there so he can pass them on to somebody else. But there's not anyone with him except for Luke. So bring the scrolls, bring the parchments, bring the old, bring the New Testament. Christianity popularized the book. It's an incredible little detail, and I wish Paul had given us more, but the Holy Spirit didn't seem fit that we'd get that. And he says, everyone defended me, but he preached the word of the Gentiles, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. This is an interesting thing because we know the Romans would execute people by putting them in an arena or coliseum, right? And feed them to angry animals. Paul was a Roman citizen, so that was not allowed against Roman citizens. So is he using a metaphor here? Like, it seems that way, but he already knows that his time is short. He's about to be executed. So maybe whoever was at his trial was like, who cares if he's a citizen or whatever? He's an enemy of the state. Let's just, you know, feed him to the lions. He might be speaking metaphorically. He might not be. He might not be. But he said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. So even if he dies, he knows that God can be trusted. And he knows that we need to fully rely on him in every situation, whether you are going to court or you're doing the everyday regular life, please bring my winter jacket to me, right? We need to put total reliance on Jesus on our to-do lists. I mean, think about it like this. We have, many of us have to take medication, right, on a regular basis. You have to take pills. And it's important, right? It regulates blood pressure. It regulates my blood sugar, right? It all sorts of reasons, right? And we have to remember to take that. And it's good that that we have medical science, that we're able to manage whatever medical health problems we have. So it's good that we have that medication. And sometimes, in many cases, it is life-saving if we are regularly on it. So that must mean we always take our pills, right? No one ever forgets taking their medication ever, right? No, we forget it all the time. We do, but it's life-saving, but we need it, right? It regulates blood pressure. It's for my health. It helps me lose weight. It helps me put on weight. Like, right? Like, that's always weird, right? Like, could we just switch, like, whatever these problems are, right? But I have to have this. I need this hormone. I need this hormone out of my system. Like, it's this whole thing. And yet we still forget, as important as it is. I think in the same way, as important as Jesus is to our lives, we need to be reminded of him constantly because we're human. We're fallible. To be a little transparent with you here, I am never more unChrist-like than when I'm doing home improvement projects. Never. Kristen, she's smiling. Like, she has that smile of like, please, none of you guys ask me questions. Right, Mike, yeah, amen. Maybe working on computers too, if there's a problem. Right. But I'm never as unChrist-like as I am when I'm working on home improvement projects. We are in what's now 121-year-old farmhouse, and it always have home improvement projects. Oh, let's change the light bulb. Hey, it's not a light, you know, it's not just the light bulb, it's the fixture. It's the line running to the fixture. It's the whole box. Oh, right. It's this whole thing. And I get so angry and frustrated and use words that I shouldn't be using. And I get angry at anyone who's around me, which is usually my family. Sorry. And it's hard. It's really hard. In fact, I remember some years ago, not too long ago, I'm going to be vague for hopefully understandable reasons. There was someone in this church who... there was a emergency, well, we were told there was an emergency job that needed to be done to a member of the community in their home. And it was me, I found another person in this church to help, and it was the most, like, first of all, it was not an emergency, and second of all, it was the most disgusting, awful, water-filled, it was just, it was not an emergency, and yet we were working on this thing, and I'm so frustrated and so angry. I'm not proud of this. I told the other person who was helping me, I said, look, I don't care how much profanity comes out of anyone's mouth today. Like, I'm the pastor of the church. This is what I'm saying, right? They were like, oh my gosh, I was so frustrated. Stop laughing, Beth. You know what I'm talking about. It's just like, oh my goodness, it's just crazy. But you know what? I didn't put total reliance on Jesus on my checklist, right? I didn't put it on my to-do list. I'm like, I gotta do this thing, right? Like, that's where it started. That's where it started. And I gotta tell you, like, yesterday, we had some minor problems with our house, and I'm like, oh, I gotta do this thing. And because I was working through this text, and I don't want to be a total hypocrite, I'm like, all right, I'll put, you know, total reliance on Jesus. So I started off, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is a huge, ugly, nasty project that I have to do with this house that probably dates back 70 years, and is really frustrating to do. And then as I got involved with it, as things go, it was much worse than I could have possibly imagined. But you know, I'm working through this text this week, so I'm okay. And Kristen, did I blow up at anyone yesterday? Did I use any choice four-letter words? That is true. She did go shopping. Okay, how was I after the fact? Yeah, right, yeah. Like, I couldn't believe it. It worked. It's ridiculous. I'm like, I can't believe this worked. Oh, my goodness. Which is the dumbest thing for a Christian pastor to say. But I was even doing, like, checks throughout the day. I'm like, okay, this is miserable. And this might be one of the worst jobs I've ever had to do with this house. But I'm not as angry and frustrated and bile-filled as I used to be. That's not because of me. That's because of Christ. Because I actually took a second and said, okay, I need him here. So on my checklist to go to the hardware store to get things, I'm like, okay, total reliance on Jesus. The only thing that doesn't get crossed off. Some of you might be here saying, well, wait a minute. You know, if Jesus is so important to you, like, if he's so important to you, why don't you just, like you should be able to carry him with you wherever you go, right? Like you shouldn't have to remind yourself. You shouldn't have to make a mark for yourself on a list or put a Bible verse somewhere. Like, you should just know. Like, you should just carry him wherever you are. And I mean, that sounds good on the surface, but, like, remember, we're incredibly fallible human beings, aren't we? We're so limited. And we are so forgetful. I mean, I already mentioned many of us forget our pills on a regular basis, don't we? Right? So what do? Right? We've got to get, like, pill boxes, and we've got to put notes on our phone and all of those things. We have to. Otherwise, we forget. We forget important things all the time. How many of you have ever locked your keys inside the house or locked your keys inside the car? Right? Or forget where you put your keys. In fact, if I've got something here that I need, like if I'm at church and I need to remember to bring that home, you know what I do? I take my keys and I put them next to that thing, even if it's in the freezer, so that I can't leave without the thing. I have to do that, even though it's an important thing. We forget things all the time. Super important things. Grocery list, right? I will make a grocery list, and the one thing I'm actually going in for, the most important thing, I don't put it on the list because it's the most important thing I'm going for. And after I drop $100, get home, unpack everything, I forgot the thing, right? Just a few years ago, there was a dad who left his baby at a bank in Honor by accident.
Like, it wasn't malicious. It wasn't drugs. I know what it was. I remember back to the time when Matthew was a baby, and I'm looking forward to when Kristen Mai's baby come. Right? When we're over here, and it's like that first year, you're so sleep-deprived, you can't think of anything, right? So that poor dad, everyone's like, what a terrible dad. I'm like, I know, I get it, man. There, but by the grace of God, go I. Forgot a baby and on it. It wasn't a bad dad. It wasn't from a broken family. It's like he came back like 5 minutes later, right? But it's like he's so frazzled. It's a baby. There's nothing more important than a baby, is there? We forget. And so I think it's useful if next to your pillbox, right, you put a Bible verse, because that's your to-do list, the pillbox. I think it's useful. You make a grocery list, you put total reliance on Jesus, the only thing you don't cross off. You got your to-do list at work for the day, a total reliance on Jesus. Put a cross or something on it. You know, put something in your to-do list. Put something in your everyday grind. Add it to it so that you remember, I need Jesus in this because I can't do this on my own. We need to add total reliance to Jesus on our to-do lists. A few years ago, I met an acquaintance out in California, and he was sharing with me that he had a friend in their Bible study who was a former spy. Well, that's interesting. So this person was a spy of some sort. He wouldn't tell what division was, and he didn't go into too many details. But he was saying that this friend, he shared that he had done some horrible things as a spy, like unethical, immoral, illegal, evil things as a spy. And they're in the Bible study, and they're like, well, like, did you become a Christian after you retired? No, I was a Christian here. Well, how do you put those things together? You did all of this awful, terrible, evil stuff, but then over here you'd come home and you'd be with your family and you're like, you know, I'm Mr. Christian. And the guy said, well, it's easy. Like, just when I'm here, I'm the spy, right? And when I'm over here, I'm the family guy, right? I'm a Christian. This is my true self when I'm here. And this is just what I need to do for my job. I'm not going to evaluate his situation one way or the other because I'm not in that situation. And I venture to guess that none of you are spies that I know of. Darren was accused of being a spy once for the denomination, but he now works for the local association, not the denomination anymore. So he can't possibly be a spy unless that's what they want us to think. Double Agent Darren. Ooh, that's... right? Yeah, we're not that, but we are that, aren't we? I mean, I know I can do that. Like, you're one person when you're at home. You're one person when you're at church. You're one person when you're with your friends. You're one person when you're at your job. You're one person with this customer. You're another person with that customer. Like, we do that. Like, us Americans are really good at doing that, and that's not really a helpful thing where we compartmentalize our lives so much that we look totally different to different people. It's not healthy. It's absolutely not healthy. And I think that happens because us as Christians, we don't carry Christ with us wherever we go. And I think that happens because you're just like me and your brain forgets things and you're like, man, I forgot what I came into the grocery store for. We need something to remind us throughout the day in our doldrums of life, total reliance on Christ. And you know, was incredible with me, with Paul. I mean, he's writing to just about everyday normal stuff, and then he has to remind himself about Christ. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He has to put that right in there in the middle of his to-do list. It's so important, even for him. And I mean, you could think, like, Paul knows he's going to die soon, right? So what do you have to do? Just kick back, relax, and wait for it to come. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. And yet he still says, I need to rely on Christ even in my death. I often think that it's easy for us to rely on Jesus in the hard things, right? And it's way harder for us to rely on Jesus in the easy things. It really is, in the regular things of life. I mean, for the big scary things, for example, I'm not happy with decisions that our executive committee for our denomination are making right now, expressly against the will of the gathered churches last June. So I've been in conversation with one of the executive committee trustees who was at our recent meeting. And it was weird. I was up at 5 a.m. and we started a conversation on Twitter, a private conversation. And he says, hey, here's your representative from Michigan. Please give her an email. Okay, that's easy. And here is the president of the executive committee's direct office phone line. Give him a call and let him know what's going on. Okay, like this is the guy who has all the power in the denomination, right? Like just there isn't anything higher. So, like, of course I'm like, I'll do this. You stink. Right? No, of course not. Like, I'm like sweating bullets over here, right? It's like, I'm like in my office. I'm like praying. I'm asking the Lord for guidance. I'm asking him for help. I know I need help with that situation, which, by the way, I had a conversation. It was good. I was forceful, not mean, not malicious, but very, very assertive, and read lots of scripture to him. And he received it. So we'll see how that goes. But I know I need Jesus in that moment, right? You know you need Jesus when you're going into surgery. You know you need Jesus when your kid is having a hard time or they're sick, right? You know it. You know it when your marriage is on the rocks that you need Jesus. It's those regular moments, like you're doing your kid's homework with them, right? Like, I don't need Jesus for this. This is like simple mathematics. Yes, you need Jesus, right? Because your kids don't get it and you don't have the patience to teach them. Right? You need Jesus when you're doing that home improvement project. He's a carpenter, for crying out loud. Maybe, you know, you need Jesus and all those regular things. You need Jesus when you're going grocery shopping. I mean, for crying out loud. Do you know everyone who works in retail now has been treated like garbage for the past 18 months? Maybe if the Christians took Jesus with us into those grocery stores, they would see Christ and they would be changed and transformed. I need Jesus when I go shopping. I need him when I go to school. I need him when I'm on Facebook. Oh man, we all need him when we're on Facebook. I need him even more when I'm on Twitter. I'm glad that most of you don't follow me on Twitter. You and I need Christ. Total reliance on Christ on our to-do list. Whatever you have to do, put a cross on your list. Put total reliance on Christ. Add it to the notes that you're making. When you're making phone calls, even to customers, clients, help me to treat them with the dignity that they were made in. Total reliance on Christ. Every moment. Every day. When you don't think you need Jesus, you need him the most. Let's pray. Father, in the regular difficulties of life, the everyday movements that we have, it is so easy to forget of our need for you and everything that you've done for us. Help us to be like the Apostle Paul, who, right in the middle of a to-do list, is reminded of all the great works that you have done for him. I pray for us as a congregation. I pray when we are doing the large, scary things, that you will help us to rely on you. In the regular ministries of our everyday lives, our ministry as we go grocery shopping, our ministry as we're shopping for clothes, our ministry as we're doing homework, our ministry as we're making dinner, our ministry as we're packing a bag, our ministry as we are driving to or from work, as we're in the middle of those everyday ministries, help us to never forget that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, may the Holy Spirit fill us up. And may we share the love of Christ both in word and deed wherever we go. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great salvation you have given us through Christ Jesus. Thank you for the words of Paul that we have been able to explore during the last few weeks. Help us to have his same attitude, to seek to glorify Jesus in all things. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.